Welcome to the Advisory Accelerator Podcast, designed to help CPAs who serve clients interested in non-traditional services. If you're a public accountant looking to drive more value into existing client relationships, then tune in for tips on accelerating your advisory service offerings. Now, here's your host, Jeff Paulo.
On this edition of the Advisory Accelerator Podcast, we connect with Nick Burgess of the Burgess Financial Group to discuss how his firm partners with CPAs to help expand the capabilities of their existing tax practice. By partnering with Burgess, CPAs are able to add expertise to their in-house personnel, allowing them to engage their clients through a more holistic and advisory-minded approach. With the incredible complexity of today's tax code, no individual CPA can ever expect to have all the answers. That's why more and more firms are partnering with Burgess to ensure that nothing is falling through the cracks when it comes to providing key clients with proactive estate planning strategies. Take a listen to learn more about what it takes to accelerate your firm's advisory practice. Well, hello again, everybody. This is Jeff Paulo, and I am the president of the Engineered Advisory family of companies and your host for the Advisory Accelerator Podcast, a show that works to help CPAs become more advisory-minded in their practices. On today's episode, I'm happy to welcome Nick Burgess of the Burgess Financial Group. Nick hails from Seattle, Washington, and I had a chance to meet him in person at the recent HABU Accelerator Conference in Dallas. I'm excited to have a chance to spend some time with Nick today and excited to have him on the show. Nick, welcome to the Advisory Accelerator Podcast.
Appreciate it. Glad to be here.
Really enjoyed taking the time to get to know you a little bit in person while we were together in Dallas, and really enjoyed your presentation to our conference attendees. Tell us a little bit about your firm as background, and then we can jump into some of the premium financing things that you discussed at the conference.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, you know, it's the word, what we specialize in is obviously premium finance. It's not really a word or a term that I like. I mean, you can Google premium finance and there's some horror stories, but I think what helps is really getting people to understand how we differentiate from, you know, poorly structured premium finance transactions out there. But, you know, the basics of what premium finance is and what we do is leveraged insurance, a simpler way to put it. Again, where we're using, the vehicle we're using is life insurance because of the tax benefits that it has. And we're funding that insurance with banks' money, and we're funding it at very low interest rate costs. And in doing so and putting together this way, we can now procure insurance in a much more efficient manner and typically get a lot more insurance than one would ever be willing to pay for. Because the reality is, anyone that has life insurance, the number one piece they don't like is paying for the premiums. Now, I'm not saying this is a strategy for individuals that can't afford paying premiums for life insurance. That's not the type of candidate that should be looking at premium finance. It's for high net worth individuals that can absolutely pay the premiums, but understand the value of leverage, right? And so for us, that's really where we recognized, you know, if you could put this transaction together properly, you could make a very interesting transaction. And, you know, fast forward to today, you know, we've been doing this for 30, 32 years now. It's a family business, and we're really best in class, and we don't have much competition out there. There's other groups that do it, but, you know, we recognize that, look, if this is what we're going to jump into, we really need to spend all of our time and focus on figuring out the best ways to mitigate the risk in these transactions. And that's what we've done.
So let's dive into that a little bit more deeply, because clearly this isn't a volume play. My guess is you're looking for a very unique profile that when the stars align, this can be very powerful, but it isn't something that a CPA is going to offer to, you know, 80% of their client base. So let's start by maybe having you outline, what's the profile of the candidate that would be interested in having this conversation? What do they look like in terms of perhaps how much they make or what their net worth is? Like, just kind of paint us a picture of who this is going to be interesting to.
Yeah, no, good question. So, And you're exactly right. You know, it's not for everybody. The typical baseline candidate that has to have typically has to have a 10 million net worth, 500,000 plus income, and 2 million of liquidable assets. That's the entry level, if you will. I would say our average client's probably in that 40 to $60 million range. But if they have a baseline of that, then an individual or even a company, because this can be done not just on a personal level, but on a corporate planning setting where a lot of accountants, you know, are dealing with that type of a client or situation all the time, where this becomes a heck of a way, a much more efficient way to create a golden handcuff, buy, sell, key man type structure, again, using leverage to do it. But from there, really, it then breaks down to, you know, what their need is. I mean, at the end of the day, too, we don't want, there's some complexities in this structure, and our goal is not to have the CPA have to go back and regurgitate this to their clients. We already know that just talking about normal or run-of-the-mill life insurance is a pretty esoteric discussion. And this extra added layer of financing just adds more complexity. So again, we don't want them to have to go back to explain this to their clients. And most clients, to that point as well, is most clients aren't going to do and move forward with anything that they don't understand. So our goal is to really now, and we're working with these accountants, getting them to understand all the moving pieces in it and then help simplify that so they can then take the, you know, one or two questions to their clients to find out who has the need and who qualifies.
Okay, so we've got a profile of who might qualify just in terms of the ability to participate at this level. What problem am I trying to solve here? If I'm the client and I'm having the conversation, what am I looking to accomplish as an end result?
Right. Well, some of the low-hanging fruit is clients that have an estate tax issue, right? If they're typically in that 10 million net worth or more, depending on where the lifetime gift exemption is going to fall, we know it's going to change at, you know, end of 2026, 2027 as the sunset provision kicks in. I think we can all agree that is not going to stay where it's at. It most likely will lower. Point being, though, is the, you know, the, again, the most simplistic solve is covering and utilizing this strategy to cover any estate tax issue that a client may have. And now doing it, tapping into the insurance, again, using the bank's money while keeping the client's balance sheet intact. That would probably be the most common area that we solve for. But other needs may be adding additional income or philanthropic type purposes. We do a lot in the philanthropic space, as this is just a much more efficient way to enhance planned giving, impact investing. We actually work with some of the largest clinics and universities around the country, and we're currently part of about a $8 to $9 billion campaign of endowment gifts that we're building with these universities. And we're doing it through their high net worth donor base. And again, it's a way for them to tap into the insurance and not have to spend the money in order to do it. Their skin in the game will end up being posting an asset as collateral, but I'd much rather post or leverage, or a better word, maybe encumbering an asset as collateral for a number of years that stays on my balance sheet, and I get that back at the end of the day to do that. And then finally, on the corporate planning side, it's, you know, companies that are looking to retain talent or have key executives, you know, here's a great way, a much more efficient way for the company to create a buy, sell, golden handcuff, and keep the company's balance sheet working for them.
So I've got the profile. I've got the need. We've decided that it's time for us to have a conversation. Take us through the transaction. Like, what does it look like?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, another great question. So let's simplify it. You know, if I've got, when dealing with other accountants and other philanthropic advisors with universities and whatnot, the number one question I typically hear is, love the strategy, but how do I even broach a client? So, you know, let's get into that. And so that's where we built a tool that helps simplify this, which is an audit that we can do on any and all clients that are currently paying for insurance. So you imagine if talking to an accountant, let's say, you know, what percentage of their clients are paying for insurance right now, whether they're high net worth or not. you know, what do they think that percentage is? And they may not know at the time, but the point I'm trying to get at is it's usually pretty high. A majority of their clients are going to be paying for insurance. And if they're not paying for insurance, then they're self-insuring, which is the most expensive, risky proposition that anyone could do. But again, if they're paying for premiums, how many of them, you know, another question I ask is how many of those policies that your clients are currently paying for, how many of those policies do you think are actually performing the way they were sold? Or how many of those policies are actually healthy? You know, the reality is, unfortunately, is they don't know because no proper annual reviews are being done. And that's a big problem within the insurance industry is a lot of these advisors, the advisors selling these policies are usually brothers, cousins, neighbors, what have you, are no longer in the business. And that's not everybody, but there's a high probability that that's what happens. And then the proper annual reviews on these policies that are already in place are not being done. So if rates change and they are not being properly reviewed on an annual basis to make sure the proper premiums are going into those policies, again, if any of those are off at all, the policies can start to eat themselves up. And so we are able to just simply identify these clients that are already paying premiums. They may have spent hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars already into these policies. And we can go in and do a deep dive audit analysis to make sure these are performing healthy. These are healthy performing policies. Now, if I go to a client and doing these audits, and for a real life example, we did an audit on an accountant's client that had a cost basis into this policy, got it in 2004, had a cost basis of over $6.5 million after tax that they'd put in as far as paying for premiums. And they still had about 10 years premium outlay to go. And their premium outlay currently was around $600,000-$700,000. And when they got this, they hadn't had a review ever since the inception of the policy. And so the reason they had this policy was to cover an estate tax, meaning they needed this insurance at least until mortality, right? And this client was about 68 at the time. So he had at least projected mortality was around age 85, 87. So he knew he was going to be paying these premiums for the next 10 years. And he wanted to know how the policy is performing. So we did an audit. And the audit came back showing that the policy, unless he increases premiums by almost another $400,000 per year, the policy was going to lapse in 5 years. And like I said, he's already $6.5 million into this. And he was expecting, again, the way it was sold was to last till age 85. But because of it being underfunded and not doing the proper reviews and interest rates changing, what have you, this policy was basically going to lapse in 5 more years. Again, losing all of the money he's put into this, losing the death benefit, unless he increases, again, premium by another $300,000 to $400,000 a year. So none of this was good news to him, right? Imagine simply if we would have met him in 2004, we could have tapped into the same amount of insurance and eliminated not only the $6.5 million that he's put in, but any more premium that he would have to dump in, because we would be financing those premiums right out of the gate using the bank's money. His skin in the game would simply be posting an asset as collateral. Now, what can you use as collateral? That could be stocks, bonds, cash. If it's real estate, you can't use raw land, but you could use a line or a letter of credit off the equity portion of real estate. And that's exactly what the client said is, you know, we were able to find a solve by doing the audit, which was the number one thing. But the reality is, he said, look, if I had met you 15 years ago, I would have saved $6+ million. Again, that's an after-tax number. I would have saved that and had the same, if not more, insurance. So that was a long-winded answer. I hope that answered some of your question.
No, that's helpful. And I think the biggest takeaway for me, Nick, is that it's not a, hey, here's our product, take it or leave it, but it really starts with an assessment, an audit, if you will, to diagnose the current situation and then customize a solution that's going to exactly meet their needs.
Correct. And that's the beauty, is it's totally customizable. Again, I want to emphasize the problem with the premium finance space is you've got too many advisors trying to sell this, that it's free insurance, or that there is no risk. And that couldn't be further from the truth. Nothing is free and nothing is without risk. We can structure this so that you may not actually have an out-of-pocket cost. You may not spend 10 cents, but I am not saying that it's free. Your participation is posting collateral. But again, that stays on your balance sheet. And we can walk the client through. There's no blueprint, right? We're going to walk them through all their options so they can make an educated decision on what they want to do. And again, it could be customized to fit exactly what they're trying to get done. And we can engineer this off of a collateral standpoint. But to your point, yes, it's totally customizable. And we always want to make sure we're speaking to what they may already currently have through an audit, which really simplifies all of the technicality or complexities that we've been kind of reviewing today. It speaks to the heart of what they already have.
So I know you've had a lot of success partnering with CPA firms to provide this look to their estate planning clients. Talk to me a little bit about what has worked. Is it first educating the CPAs in the firm on what it is and then having them bring the clients to you? What's the process that you've seen work the best when it comes to partnering with a CPA firm?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll start from the beginning on that really is, you know, we used to approach and work with other insurance advisors or financial advisors in the space, but we quickly recognized that the reality is the advisors that have the true client control are the accountants and the attorneys, right? And they're the ones that we're going to need to be working with regardless from the get-go. And so we've shifted that focus from working with other insurance advisors, financial advisors. We absolutely can still and do work with them. But the number one individual we are targeting that we seek out is the attorneys and the accountants for that exact reason. So I would say with those discussions, we're always having deep dives with the accountant we're working with first and going through all of the bells and whistles and moving pieces within the transaction. But they'll typically from there discuss, okay, I've got some client profiles. I want to see how this works. And so we'll put together preliminary illustrations for the clients that they're wanting to look at. We're not typically starting with names or anything. It's all confidential information, but we're putting together some structured illustrations so they can really see a live example of how this would work for a client that that obviously fits the profile and has a need in any one of those areas that we talked about. And we'll walk them through that. And again, we'll go through all the options that they have. Because the reality is if they qualify and they have a need, there's three things they can do to solve that need. They can do nothing, which is what I mentioned at the beginning, which is self-insuring, right? Most expensive proposition. If they don't want to do that, then their second option is to pay for insurance, right? And we know how that goes. That's a solution. That's the most common practice. Or the third option is financing the premiums, which is where we come in. And there's risks associated to each, and we'll walk them through the risks for each one of those solutions.
And what I like about that is that if I'm a CPA, my clients are saying to me, look, be more proactive, add more value, educate me outside of the core compliance. And it sounds like that's what this is. It's an education. You know, you've got three options to Correct. Choose from. Let's look at the risk and the rewards of each. And when the stars align and it makes sense for us to proceed with something like this, let's let that happen. But there may be instances where it doesn't make sense, and that's okay too.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, because at the end of the day, there's no wrong answer. It's got to fit what the client wants to get done, and it's got to fit their risk tolerance level. And so we're going to walk them through all of that so they, at the end of the day, they can truly make an educated decision. But also to that, and it's the reason we shaped our firm the way we did, is we built this with over 13 to 14 banks. We're not tied just to one bank, right? And as far as a product goes, we are carrier agnostic. So we're not pushing a product, right? We have multiple bank partners and we're carrier agnostic by design, so that it's not just a cookie cutter approach. It truly is planning at the end of the day. And we're mix and matching and trying to fit the client based off of their risk and the risk tolerance and whatnot with the correct bank that fits what they want to get done and the right product. Because at the end of the day, I don't work for the bank and I don't work for the carrier. And so we want to put together the most sound numbers that fit, again, what their need is. And by having those multiple options, it allows us to keep the banks honest, right? Because at the end of the day, a bank's going to be a bank if you allow them to be. And if you're tied to one bank, what happens if that bank decides to just add in fees? That adding in fees doesn't do anything but pad the bank's pockets, right? And if you don't have another way to pivot, well, then you're tied to whatever that bank can do, right? And so if a bank tries to get greedy, we'll move the loan. And, you know, over the last 30 years doing it, we have over, you know, several billion in financed loans with our top five banks, where we come in with leverage with these banks, right? And if they get greedy, again, we'll move the loan. And just like that on the product side, you know, we want to be able to pivot and truly see what is the best product for the client at the end of the day.
So Nick, I guess, you know, if I'm a CPA or I'm an attorney, there's going to be some organic work that comes out of this for me just by virtue of them moving forward with you with this type of a structure. But is there a way for me as a CPA to participate in any premium commissions or things like that? And I know there's licensing and issues involved with that. Like, how do you partner with your CPAs on the revenue front?
Right. And absolutely. We do have to have proper licenses in place. And it really comes down to, what the accounting firm or the law firm wants to do. Some want to wear one hat, right? I completely understand that. And they don't want to blend that side of it. But let's talk about an attorney first and then go to an accountant. An attorney, at the end of the day, if we're working with a law firm, we're oftentimes going to have them do the legal work, which drives revenue, and it's right in their wheelhouse of what they do. On an accounting firm, this is just bringing more hours in. Again, if they're not participating on the transaction side, the audit and the work we're doing on the analysis and the education and whatnot is helping billing more hours for the accounting firm. But if they are participating, then that typically just requires someone within the accounting firm or the law firm to get a life license, which, you know, unfortunately, but it is not that difficult to get, which is a whole nother discussion where I think why there's some bad actors in the insurance space, because it's really not difficult to get a life license and there's a lot of money to be made. But that's in any industry. And the point being is, if an accounting firm does want to participate on that side, then all they need is to get a life license, and then we can physically share, it's disclosed to the clients. We can put them on the application and typically give a percentage of what that transaction mission piece is, which becomes a huge profit center on that side.
Fantastic. And it's interesting. My experience is some will want to participate that way. Others will not and just be satisfied with adding the value and doing the work. And a lot of it will depend on how they're set up in terms of their individual licenses within the firm. But it's good to know that option is available to them if they choose to go down that route.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, to your point, yeah, it really just depends on what the accounting firm is comfortable with. And some have gone down that route, some haven't. I don't think there's a wrong answer, because at the end of the day, it's disclosed. They're legally licensed. And if that's something their firm wants to do, I've done it many times.
All right. Well, Nick, I really enjoyed your presentation at the HABU conference in Dallas. I know you had a ton of booth traffic after you got done speaking. And that's a credit to you and what you're bringing to the table here. I know you mentioned that this was a family business. That's unique in this industry. And I want to applaud you on that. If I'm correct, I think the home office is in Salt Lake City, you're in Seattle, and then you've got another office in Los Angeles as well?
Our main office is in Salt Lake City. We've got an office, and it is a family business. I'm the oldest of three brothers. I've got a stepsister as well who's in the business. She's older than I, but our main office is in Salt Lake City. We've got an office in LA, San Diego, Miami, New York, and then Seattle for me. And we also do quite a bit internationally as well, which at the end of the day, the work we do, We have an office in Guadalajara, Mexico City, and Cabo. And for the accountants we work with on our side, it's another area why we really focus on working with the accountants is a lot of our clients in Latin America or Asia have nexus to the U.S. and need a lot of accounting work with U.S. accountants. And so we're able to bring, you know, those referrals to the table for the accountants as well. So that becomes a big profit center for the accountants on what they can do for our foreign national clients.
All right. Well, for our listeners who want to learn a little bit more, the first step is to visit the group website that can be found at tbburgessgroup.org, tbgroup.org. And on the website, you'll find Nick, all of his contact information, and you can reach out to him directly. Nick, I certainly appreciate you taking the time today to kind of walk through this with our listeners, and I look forward to seeing you at the next conference in August when we get back together in Dallas.
Awesome. I look forward to it as well, and thank you for having me.
You bet. That'll do it for another episode of the Advisory Accelerator. Thanks to everyone for listening, and have a great rest of the day. Cheers. And there we have it, another episode focused on helping our CPA listeners accelerate their firm's advisory practice. The Advisory Accelerator podcast is sponsored by the Engineered Advisory family of companies, Engineered Tax Services, The Growth Partnership, Able CRM, and Inside Public Accounting. Learn more about how we help CPAs accelerate their advisory practices at engineeredadvisory.com. Until next time, this is Jeff Paulo signing off and wishing you nothing but success as you transition your firm from compliance to advisory.